Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
You can be seated. Well, I'm going to tell you the story of Joseph and the giant bowling ball today. I'm going to ask my helpers to come up and set up something that we did this week. I thought you might be interested. We are learning that God is with us everywhere. Okay, so now, adults, you know how to do it. God is with us everywhere. Awesome God! Who else can be with you everywhere? No one. God is so awesome. And we are going to tell you that just because God is awesome doesn't mean in this life we won't have problems. Has anyone had problems the last couple years? Come on, come on. Yes, problems come. And so we are going to find out how Joseph solved problems when they came into his life. And who can I ask to come up? You come up in the beautiful little frilly dress. This is our problem. Now, this is, do you know what this is? A rolling ball. Yes, well, you bowl with it. You see, you put your fingers in there. Can you see if it's heavy? It's heavy, hey?
Yeah.
Would you like it to hit you?
Nope.
No. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you. Well, this bowling ball, we're going to see what happens when Debbie brings over these boxes. This is heavy. This problem comes at us. And we're not expecting it. And this is what happens when problems come. It knocks us off our feet. And problems will come. Financial, relationships, jobs, health. They come and they can knock us off our feet. But I want to show you, Debbie, in fact, maybe you can show them, that if we stand against our problems, if we stand in the help of the Lord, they won't hurt us. Can you stand here and I'm going to throw this bowling ball at you? Come on, come on. She works for me. She's got to do whatever I tell her. Okay, so here's a problem. Have you had problems, Debbie?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, this problem is coming at you.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
No, you're not supposed to move. Now, we have had the joy of having our new pastor with us this week, and I would like you to welcome him, Pastor Brent Foster. Would you come? Now, Pastor Brent, Debbie's having problems standing with her problems coming at her. I'm just wondering if you could just stand behind her so she doesn't run away. We want her to stand firm because she's got to learn to trust me. I wouldn't hurt her. I wouldn't hurt her. And if I do, you've got workman's compensation. So, okay, I'm hoping. Okay, let's hope. Thank you very much. Good job, Debbie. Thank you, Pastor Brent. So when problems are coming at us, we don't know if they're going to take us out. And sometimes they do. And God wants us to know that he wants to be with us everywhere we go. If you know Jesus as your Savior, do you know what? You're in the palm of his hand. Nothing can come against you that he hasn't said is okay. And guess what? If worse comes to worst, heaven is your reward, right? So I want to tell you a story about Joseph. Now, Joseph was the 11th child of 12, and this family was not an ordinary family. We might say they were a little imperfect. They were imperfect. And Joseph was born to Jacob, his father, when he was in his old age. And I just want you to know that Jacob loved Joseph because he was born from his wife that he loved the most, Rachel. So there were four mothers, 12 boys. Sibling rivalry. They were fighting all the time. And guess what? They hated Joseph because Joseph was the favorite. Now, in my family, I was born to my father when he was 54, I think. So I think I was his favorite too. So I know how that feels. Now, I don't know if I was hated, but they did make fun of me a lot. Anyway, there were family feuds in this family, and that is very precious to me because I was on Family Feud. But anyway, 17 years old, Jacob gets a present from his father. Not any of the other boys. It's a beautiful, ornate coat, and he loved to wear it. And that made the brothers even hate him more. And then, to top it all off, he has this dream. Now, if I had a dream and I knew my brothers hated me, I would not tell them this dream. He said, guess what? I dreamed that we were all collecting bundles of grain, and mine rose up, and you guys all bowed down to me. That's very encouraging for the other brothers, isn't it? And they said, what do you think? You're going to rule over us, and we're going to bow down to you? And then he has another dream. You think he'd learn from the first time, but he didn't. The second dream, he said, I dreamed the sun, moon, and the 11 stars all bowed down to me. Now his father heard it this time and he said, you mean your mother and I and your brothers are all going to bow down to you? And he said, that's what my dream says. Oh, they really were mad. And Joseph never did a lot of work. Just like me, I would play the piano while they were doing the dishes. So they could do all the work and I could play. So they didn't like him. They're in Shechem now. The brothers are looking after the sheep in Shechem. And his father says to Joseph, I want you to go down and tell me how your brothers are doing. So Joseph puts on his nice coat and he walks down to Shechem. And he can't find them. So he asks somebody, tell me where they might be. And a man says, oh, they've gone on to Dothan. So he's walking. His brothers see him coming because I think the sun is shining off his glittery coat. And they said, let's kill him. We want to kill our brother. And so Reuben, the oldest, he says, let's just throw him in a well and teach him a lesson, right? It was a dry well. He didn't have to swim or anything. So they decided to throw him in a well, and then Reuben was going to rescue him and take him back to his father. But instead, Reuben goes back to look after his sheep, and in the distance, here comes a caravan of camels. And the camels and the caravan, they said, let's make some money off our brother. Let's sell him to these merchants. And so for 20 pieces of silver, that was about 2 years' wages. They split the money, I'm sure. But they sold him into slavery, and they were going to Egypt to sell all their wares, and they took Joseph to Egypt. So the brothers say, okay, we got his coat. Let's kill a goat and put goat's blood on it and tell our father we don't know where he is. And so they did that. They took the coat, the beautiful coat, to the father and said, is this your son's coat? He said, yes. Look at the blood. Oh, my son must have been killed by a wild animal. And he cried and he wept because he loved Joseph. And for many, many days, maybe months, he was in mourning. Meanwhile, Joseph, 17, is in Egypt. What do they speak in Egypt? I don't know, but they don't speak what he speaks. He's Hebrew. And so he starts to work. He gets bought by Potiphar, who is a captain of the guard in Pharaoh's court. And he brings him into his house to do all the jobs. Now, this is taken from the book of Genesis. I love the Bible because there are real places, real people, history. And in Genesis chapter 37, it says, Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending flocks with his brothers. And later on, it says in verse 39, the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that God gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in the eyes, and his attendant Potiphar made him in charge of his entire household. In chapter 39, you'll see that it says four times that the Lord was with him. The very last verse, the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So now, if it were me and I was taken as a slave, I would probably do the least that I could, because I didn't want to be there. I'd be mad at my brothers, and I would just not want to help these Egyptian people. But Joseph didn't. The Spirit of God was with him, and he served well. Everything he touched succeeded. God was with him. And so came the day, another coat experience. He's working in the household of Potiphar. Potiphar is away, and his wife is very interested because it says that Joseph was very handsome and well built. Like, well, who wants to volunteer? Who's handsome and... Oh, yes, I see a few hands. Yeah. Well, he was really handsome, and so Potiphar's wife was very interested in him, and she kept flirting with him, and he kept saying, no, no, no. Finally, that day, she said, come to me, and she grabbed his coat, and he ran out. That was the coat that I want to talk about, too, because when her husband came home, his wife was really mad because she was rejected by this slave. And she made up a story that Joseph tried to hurt her, and so Potiphar got really mad at Joseph. Did Joseph do anything wrong? No, he did the right thing. But Potiphar threw him in prison. How many of you have been in prison? No, don't. Anyway, it was like a dungeon. And was that fair? No, it wasn't fair. The coat of injustice. The first coat Joseph had was the coat of pride. He's somebody. He's the favorite. But he lost that coat. And God started to humble him. And this was now the coat of injustice. And he's in prison. And what happens in prison? Is he complaining? No. It says that everything Joseph did in the prison was wonderful, and the prison guard gave him rulership over all the prisoners. And so one day, two prisoners got thrown into the dungeon from Pharaoh's court. Pharaoh got upset with them. It was the cupbearer and the baker. I love bakeries. Does anybody? I'm digressing here. Anyway, the cupbearer and the baker are in prison. And they were there for a while. It doesn't say how long, but they each had a dream. Now, dreams were big back then. They would write down all the dreams in this book of dreams and make their plans around these dreams. And so the baker and the cupbearer had a dream. So when Joseph goes to their cell in the morning, they're downcast and sad. He says, what's wrong? And they said, you know, we each had a dream, but nobody's here to interpret it. And Joseph said, God is the one who interprets dreams. Tell me. And so the cupbearer said, well, I dreamed that there was a vine and three branches, and the branches turned into buds and then flowers and then grapes grew. And I took the grapes and I squeezed them in a cup and I gave them to the king to drink. And Joseph said, that dream means in 3 days you're going to be restored to the Pharaoh's court, and you're going to begin serving him wine again. Okay, that's good news. And so then the baker got up enough courage to tell him, okay, well, this was my dream. I dreamed that I had three baskets of bread on my head and bakery items, like maybe croissants and donuts and... No, anyway, it doesn't matter. And the birds came and pecked away at it. And that was my dream. And Joseph said to him, in 3 days, Pharaoh's going to take your head off. And that was not good news for him. So they waited these 3 days. In 3 days, it was Pharaoh's birthday, and he did restore the cupbearer. And Joseph said, please, when you go back, tell him what I did for you so that I can be released. I'm here falsely. And so he left, and the same thing happened to the baker. He was a goner, and we won't go there. But anyway, time goes on. 2 years later, Pharaoh is having a dream. Lots of dreams back then. And Pharaoh had a dream that these big, sleek, fat, healthy cows come out of the Nile, and they feed in the bulrushes, and then seven really skinny, did I say seven cows? Seven really skinny cows come out, and they eat the fat cows. And he woke up with a start, and he goes, what does that mean? I don't know. And then he went back to sleep, and he had another dream, and that dream was grain. Seven big, fat bundles of grain were there, and seven, now I'm forgetting, oh my goodness. What did they do? Tell me. They ate up the fat ones so that there was just skinny ones left. So in the morning, he calls all his wise men and his magicians, and he said, these were my dreams. What do they mean? And they looked at each other, and they go, I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. Do you know? And they couldn't interpret the dream. And then the baker, the cupbearer said, I remember there was a prison guard, Joseph, in the prison that interpreted my dream. Maybe he can interpret yours. So they went to get Joseph, and it says that he shaved because I guess Egyptians like clean-shaven men like I do, and and new clothes and bath. And so he went before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, this was my dream. And he said, I cannot interpret dreams, but God can. God is the interpreter of dreams. And he said, this dream means for 7 years, you are going to have plenty and plenty of grain. And for 7 years, there's going to be a famine. So you need, the reason you had two dreams is because this is going to happen very fast. You need to appoint a man to take 20% of all the grain in the 7 years and put it in storehouses so that you'll have enough to feed the nation when the years of plenty came. And so Pharaoh was amazed and said, okay, who is better and has the Spirit of God in him more than you? So he placed Joseph right underneath Pharaoh. You will have rulership over the whole land, and we will do what you say. He said, get him a robe, a beautiful robe. Get him a ring. Get him a horse to ride in a chariot. And Joseph was promoted. That's the third coat. First coat was the coat of pride. The second was the coat of injustice. And this was the coat of promotion. And God is testing us to see if we are going to stand when the problems come. That we're going to draw strength from him and hope from him. Because you know what? God knew this before it ever happened. He saw it when Joseph was 17. Now Joseph is 39, and he has him right in the place he needs him to be. And then, I'm covering 5-10 chapters here. His brothers finally come when the famine hit, and they stand before him, and they don't recognize him because he's 39 years old now, and he's dressed like an Egyptian, he talks like an Egyptian, but Joseph recognized them. And so you'll have to read it yourself. It's a great story. But at the end, when Jacob passed away, the brothers thought that now Joseph is going to have them killed. And Joseph says something that really hit me. In chapter 50 of Genesis, the very last book of Genesis, this is what he says. What you meant for evil, God has meant for good. The problems we face strengthen us. They prove to us that God is with us and standing with us. And I want to pray with you right now because some of you might be in that problem coming right at you and wanting to knock you off your feet. And I want to just pray that you would stand strong with the Spirit of God in you, and that you would know that God is with you wherever you go.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.